Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. I have a great program for you today. What do you think and feel about your body? Your body image is how you feel about yourself physically and how you think others see the shape, weight, and qualities of your body. Now, some people feel good about their bodies while others don't. My guest today is Dr. Megan Stubbs. She is a sexologist, relationship expert, and body image specialist. Her new book is called Playing Without a Partner, A Single's Guide to Sex, Dating, and Happiness. With her degrees in biology and human sexuality, she is able to combine two of her favorite things, science and sex. Today, she'll talk to us about her new book and how to create a long-lasting, healthy, positive body image. For more information about Dr. Megan Stubbs or her new book, please go to sexologistmegan.com. So welcome to the program, Megan. Great to have you with us today.
Hi, Terry. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, it is wonderful to talk with you today. And I have to tell you that I really enjoyed reading your book. But before we get to the book and body image, tell listeners a little bit more about your background and what it means to be a sexologist.
For sure. Yeah. So I tell everyone that I'm a sexologist, and that's the job that they didn't see on career day.
Right.
So basically, what I spend my time doing is educating the public. So what people do with their bodies and how they feel about it. I tour the country now virtually and speak on college campuses from topics ranging to sexual assault awareness and bystander intervention, positive body image, to things like your guide to sex toys and how to negotiate a threesome. So it really runs the span from mild to wild. Mm-hmm. I'm also a frequent contributor to media. I write for Playboy, and I also host private and public events around the world.
Those are great topics, by the way, all of which I would love to discuss, but we can't discuss everything. So let's start then with your book, Megan. What motivated you to write your new book, Playing Without a Partner? And who should read this book?
I was connected to the publisher through a mutual friend, Dr. Jessica O'Reilly. She's a wonderful sexologist. And I said, hey, I'm a new author, or aspiring author, I guess is what you say. Now I'm an author, but at the time I was an aspiring author. And I said, do you have any topics you'd like a new author to take a look at? And they were like, you know, we'd like to have a book about like single sexuality. How does that feel for you? And I was like, what? That's my life. Like, okay, tell me more. And so it just became like a really like natural fit for me because I've been hashtag super single for such a long time. So I thought it'd be really fun to combine both my personal and professional view into a book.
Mm-hmm. And I, as I read the book, I think that's wonderful. You were able to talk about yourself and your experiences personally. Oh, I'm sorry, Tony. Can we just start that over? Sorry. All of a sudden. Sorry. Woo! So I think that's wonderful, Megan, because as I read the book, you were able to incorporate your own personal experiences and life, as well as science as well. So I love combining the personal and the science. Now, one of the things you talk about in your book, Megan, is that there are more single adults in the U.S. now than ever before. In fact, 45% of the U.S. population is single, yet singles are still feeling stigmatized and alone. And in your book, Megan, you encourage singles to embrace and make the most of the time while being single. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Right. With such a large percentage of the population finding themselves single, you know, it's a really, I get think, disservice that we're thought of as almost like second-class citizens. You know, people are single for a variety of choices, whether it's, you know, personal choice or they've ended a relationship. But it shouldn't be worn like a scarlet S on your forehead, like, oh, I'm single. Oh, no. And I think a lot of that stems from societal cultures and just the pressures of family and community, because the exalted position is being in a partnership, because that's what you see in commercials and popular television and movies. It's never like a single person, or if it is, it's a single person who ends up in a relationship or who ends up falling in love or who ends up, you know, meeting the person of their dreams. It's never just like, hey, that's me, I'm single, this is my life. So trying to give a fresh take on this relationship status and helping people realize that, you know, this time is really unique because you're beholden to no one and you can really choose to carve out your own path and also spend time getting to know you, because I don't know when the last time someone really took a chance to just like get to know themselves and do some inner personal work, because it's not normalized in society. So hopefully this book gives a breath of fresh air to the single status.
Mm-hmm. And I can just hear listeners, by the way, Megan, that are single. They're agreeing with you 100% that all the images that they see on television and movies are of these partners or couples or singles who are wanting to get into a relationship. And so embracing that singlehood, spending time on getting to know yourself is so important. Any other strategies or tips that you might give singles? Because they're probably saying, well, how do I sit back and do that, Megan? How do I feel like I'm not the sole person who is not in a relationship? Or, you know, as I look around, everyone, all my friends are in a relationship. So how do I sit back and feel okay about myself?
Yeah, I definitely don't want people to just like think they can smile the pain and hurt away if they're really like wishing they were in a relationship. I totally get that. Like, feel those feelings, but also don't lament what you can't change. You can't just snap your fingers and suddenly be in a relationship. You know, really be mindful of the situation. So if you are feeling down or feeling like, when's it going to be my time? You know, I hear you. I feel that for you. But in the meantime, what are you going to do? Are you going to go through living life feeling sad the whole time? Hopefully not. So this book is hopefully a permission slip to both feel those feelings, but also realize you can have a whole fulfilled life right now, because you don't know what's going to happen a month from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, because anything, you know, could change at any moment. So try to be mindful of what's going on right now and what you can control. Because the worst thing, I think, is someone who gets into a relationship that isn't the best fit for them. But better to be in a not great relationship than to be alone. So if you are of that mindset, I'd love to challenge that view, right, and help you realize that you don't have to put yourself in a situation just to say, like, no, I'm with someone, but it's not the right person.
Mm-hmm. And being single is good, as you said. It gives you time to focus on yourself and your own interests and your work and your hobbies. So it can totally be a time, like you said, to focus on you. And we know studies show, Megan, I'm sure you know as well, that a very attractive quality that makes others attracted to us is positivity, is high confidence, and is optimism and hope in general. So you would agree with all that, right, Megan?
Of course, yeah. And I'd love to add too that, you know, you're your own person, and the energy you would put into a new relationship, shift that into you. Because if you get into a relationship and you think this is going to be your end all be all, that's a lot of pressure you're putting on your future partner, which I can only forecast won't end well, especially if you don't have your own things that you like to do on your own time.
Very good. Thank you for adding to that. Now, I know we're going to discuss body image today in particular, but I know that your book is on how singles should embrace their sexuality as well. So are there a few themes or a few practical things that you can offer singles today to feel good about their single sexuality as well?
Yeah, while the book is written for the single person, I really think anyone, whether they're single or partner, can benefit from definitely the first half of the book, because it's really about just cultivating that inner confidence. So getting to know your body, getting to know what touches feel good, and knowing how to turn yourself on, and then, you know, using that to, if and when you're partnered, tell your partner all that information you gleaned from the time you've spent working on yourself. Even if you find yourself in a relationship and you feel kind of stuck, you can always revisit the practices of mindfulness and the solo sensate focus exercises we have going on, because time spent on yourself is never time wasted. And so just taking the time, and this doesn't mean like 10 minutes before bed, like making it purposeful. I had a professor once say people will spend more time and money to fix their toilet than they will their sex life. And so I think this is important to you. So make it important, block out some time and really get into it. You know, make a nest, make a really cuddly, amazing, feel good space. Think about the lighting, you know, dim the lights, maybe light a candle. What kind of songs do you like that put you in the mood? Play those and really make it a whole production for yourself. And then just slow it down and think of the sensuality, because we all know where the hot spots are. We're like nipples, clitoris, we get it. But think about, you know, your skin. How does your skin like to be touched? Maybe some light nails dragging along the skin, maybe some little pinches, you know, just really explore what works best for you.
I like all of those suggestions to focus on you and make it intentful, make it mindful. Spend time, not just one night, but spend time on focusing on you and what you like. Great strategies and suggestions. And anyone is who's looking for ways to do that, Megan's book is full of exercises and additional strategies to really be mindful of your own sexuality and what feels good to you. So, okay, Megan, let's discuss body image now. First, what is body image again? I quickly defined it at the beginning of the segment, but again, how do you define it and how is it developed?
Yeah, I mean, your definition was like spot on. Body image is just how you feel about your physical form, the confidence you carry, and how you think others perceive you. It's formed through, again, society and culture and family. And we don't wake up one day. We aren't born hating ourselves, but slowly there's a slow burn, slow indoctrination through advertising and media and family members making what air quotes, innocuous comments. But it slowly shifts our perception of what are good bodies and what are not good bodies, because it's just pervasive. I mean, you literally cannot escape it unless you were born, I don't know, deep in the woods and you've never seen any kind of media. Maybe then you're immune from it. But it's always everywhere. Every advertisement, every product, it's just pervasive. And so I like the movement of where we're going from shifting away from a like specific look, a very homogenized look in media, and we're actually embracing all the variations in bodies, because how your body looks, normal. Like, that's normal. That's how your body looks. And especially coming out of, you know, we're still living through a pandemic, but we're like hope on the horizon here. I've been seeing people talking about pandemic weight, and I'm just like, right. Oh my gosh, like, it isn't enough to just have survived a pandemic, but now you're going to complain that your body's taking up more space. Like, I can't. So I just always, you know, try to remind people we were in unprecedented times, because I don't think any of us have lived through a pandemic before, maybe some older people, but like not in my lifetime.
Right. So right.
Away from the societal views of like, oh, you should have, you know, put on weight or you should lose that weight. It's like, this is completely irrelevant. Like, what are the really important things? That's not the space you take up.
And we're talking about body image for men and women, I think, right, Megan? Because when, I think listeners are probably imagining females in general, but you're talking about how we see ourselves, how we think about our bodies, and how we think others see our bodies for men and women.
Yeah, absolutely. When it comes to women, it's usually around fatness. And for men, it's usually centered around muscle tone and like lack of muscles. But it's across the board. It affects everyone in different ways. And of course, the perceived norm is, you know, currently now, I think hourglass figure, curvy but skinny for women, and then just like super muscly, jacked looking guys. When it's like, yeah, that body style is okay. So are other ones too. But those are the ones that are celebrated in society.
Right. And, you know, when I was reading your book, one of the statistics that really surprised me, but also I gasped at, was that only 4% of women worldwide describe themselves as beautiful. And that's such a low percentage. I expected it to be at least a quarter, 25%. So 4% was so low and really took me back. Now, what are the ways then, Megan, a poor body image can hold us back?
So many ways. I mean, from academics to our personal lives, professional lives, you know, not feeling good in the skin that you live in is just, it's pervasive. Maybe you don't want to go out for this position, or you don't think you're ready to date yet because you need to lose weight, or you don't want to take even family photos because you don't think you look good. And it's like, take the photo, wear the outfit, you know, go out and get the job or speak up in class. Like, there's so many things that if you don't feel good in your home base, it keeps you from, you know, reaching your fullest potential. So I just want people to realize that how your body looks right now is A-okay. This isn't saying you don't get to change your body. You absolutely get to change your body, but do it in a way that's stemming from a place of, like, I don't know, love and acceptance, as opposed to like hate. Because if, you know, hating our bodies into happiness worked, we'd be doing that, but it doesn't work. Just like diets don't work. So as opposed to like looking at your form, look at function, because I don't want to hear about 30 pounds in 30 days. No, tell me how your endurance is. Tell me if you can do the things that bring you joy. Tell me if you can, you know, go walking around the Mall of America and you're able to do that without, you know, being exhausted. How's your immunity? How do you sleep? Like, those are all things that matter. Not what size pants do you wear? Oh, okay, cool. Good to know. That doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, how are you?
It's such an acceptance that we need to understand, right? That whatever we are is okay, is what you're saying, Megan.
Yeah, because again, you literally cannot snap your fingers and change something. It has to be like, it's a long journey. And this doesn't mean like, just wake up and love yourself, love every part of you. No, because that's not part of the human condition. I mean, there are days, I've done this work for a long time, both professionally and personally. And there are some days I wake up and I'm like, ooh, yikes, not a good day. And that's okay, because we're human and you get to have those feelings. But underlying even those yuck days, I'm like, I'm still worthy. I'm still amazing. I'm still good looking, you know, but just knowing that, don't wallow in that trough of low body image and like low self-esteem, you know. So having those things that build us up, supportive friends, curating our social media feeds, making sure we're not reinforcing a body image that's completely unattainable for us and also isn't good for us. And just being critical viewers of media, you know, there, people are out there, accounts are out there showing diverse bodies. And guess what? They're happy. They're thriving. They're having, you know, amazing sex, good relationships, cute clothes. Like, those exist for all kinds of bodies. So if you're finding yourself always doom scrolling and being like, I'm never going to look like this, change up the feed, because what you're reinforcing in your mind stays with you.
And so let's talk a little bit more about those specific practical strategies that you mentioned. You mentioned supportive friends. You mentioned looking critically at your own social media posts and who's posting on your social media, being a critical reviewer of the media. So can you elaborate a little bit more, Megan, on those? Because as you said, we all have those moments where we wake up, myself included, as you said, you know, know, we wake up and we go, oh no, not having a great day, not feeling great about my body. But realizing that you want to do steps or you want to incorporate some positive strategies so that you have less of those days. Tell us a little bit more.
Just know that right now, first of all, right now, you're okay. You're good. You're great. Everything's all right. A step to having better body image is just realizing that, hey, even if you don't like the shape you're in right now, that's okay. You can make small steps to change it. Know that it's not going to be an instant fix because nothing ever is. And it's a journey. So give yourself permission and forgiveness. And then always, every day is a new day to begin again. A really simple way to start to get comfortable with your body, I think, is doing what I call like the mirror assessment. We did this in grad school where we went from head to toe and did a whole body assessment of like what we liked and what we didn't like. And we said, why? And so, you know, going down, you could be like, oh, I love my eyebrows. They're so thick and fierce. I love my eyes because they're super sparkly. I don't like my nose because it's wide. Well, that's genetics. So, okay, moving on, but it lets me breathe. So if you can like start to articulate the reasons why you don't like it, it helps kind of like, I don't know, bring about like, where is this coming from? Or going down like, oh, I don't like my stretch marks. Well, what does this mean? Well, it means my skin, you know, tore. Okay. Moving on, you know, it's not just like, I hate my scars, I hate my cellulite. You know, these are all normal things that almost everyone has in the population, but we're never seen in media. So just normalizing this and being like, this is normal. This isn't abnormal. I'm not alone in this. Everyone has this going on. So it helps humanize the human experience, I think.
And as we do that mirror assessment, which is a wonderful exercise, Megan, you said, you know, going through and from head to toe, looking at parts of your body and saying what you like and what you don't like and why. I noticed also that after a negative and why, you also said to yourself, this is normal, or I'm still my nose, even though I don't like it, I'm able to breathe. Should I go that extra step as well to normalize or to say what the positive is of something that I don't like?
100%, because every part of your body is what brought you to this place today. So even if you're like, I don't like my cellulite stretch mark jiggly thighs. Well, guess what? Your thighs have taken you everywhere in life. So you got to show some gratitude to those, because you can cut your legs off. Sure. Okay. That's a quick fix. But it's like, you have to realize it's not an all negative. And usually it's a cosmetic thing. So you can't fix this. There's going to be no cream. You could possibly do some laser treatments, but to what end? Our smooth thighs going to be the fix-all to your life? Chances are no. And as you're going through this assessment too, realize you're so much more than a nose on your face or a chubby belly. Okay, now what? I don't think your friends are with you because they like the way, you know, your eyebrows are. They like you for the whole person. So helping to realize that just a part of you that you might not love doesn't discount the whole package.
Mm-hmm. And what is the connection, Megan, between our body image, how we feel and think about our body, and how we feel and act sexually?
Yeah, again, so I mean, if we're not going to go out for that position or take photos with our friends when it comes to sexuality, we're definitely not going to show up as authentically as we can in the bedroom. Because if we're not feeling confident in the body that we're in, how are we going to share that with a partner? And so I know there's all kinds of things about like anti-cellulite lingerie and all these different things. And it's like, okay, your partner can see you. Unless you're like in full pitch black, they're going to see you. They're going to be able to touch you. So starting that healing journey on your own, by yourself, where it's safe and not confrontational and there's no pressure or judgment, is a great place to start. So the more comfortable you are with your body, the more normalized you feel about the skin that you live in, the better comfortable, or what am I saying? The more comfortable you will be with a future partner. And then you can convey to them, hey, I like when you touch me like this. Or, hey, can you, you know, not grab my neck because I experienced trauma or I just don't like that feeling. And the more you can communicate your likes and dislikes to your partner, chances are the better sexual encounter you will have.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things that I have found in my own research, Megan, following these couples now for over 32 years, is that there is a significant relationship between body image and desire for sex at all. So not only do you not feel comfortable when you have sex, as you were talking about, but you don't even desire it, don't even want it in your relationship if you're not feeling good about your body. So there are significant findings and a significant connection, as you mentioned as well, between body image and how we feel and act sexually. Now, Megan, we only have 2 minutes left. If there's one message that you want listeners to take away from today's program, what might that be?
Oh, I would love listeners to know that right now, as they're listening to this, in whatever iteration they find themselves, both mentally, physically, relationship status-wise, you are deserving of pleasure, you are deserving to have your desires met, and you are perfectly in the place you need to be right now. You can take the first steps today to, I don't know, live your best life, because you don't need to change anything right now.
What a great message. Don't wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow's too late. Now, yeah. And you deserve pleasure and happiness. So embrace that. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Megan. What a pleasure talking to you.
Terry, thank you so much for having me on. This was a great conversation. I feel like we could just keep going on.
We could. And there are so many other topics. I would love to have you back on the program at another time as well.
I'd love to join you.
And again, listeners, if you're interested in learning more about Dr. Megan Stubbs or her new book called Playing Without Partners, please go to sexologistmegan.com. As always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. And I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your happy, healthy relationships.